All right, this morning we start Hebrews chapter 5. This first section in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, actually goes through the first 10 verses. And we will be studying the first 6 this morning and then verses 7 through 10 next Sunday. Reading from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, going through verse 10. For every high priest being taken from out of men is appointed or ordained on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices on behalf of sins, while being able to deal gently. This infinitive means to actually hold back or restrain your passion of anger. Here's a high priest that must have the ability to refrain from getting angry at people, as it says, to the ones who are ignorant and to the ones who are going astray. Since he himself also is encircled or surrounded with weakness. And on account of this, he is indebted, according as concerning the people, so also concerning himself, to offer up, that is, sacrifices on behalf of sins. And someone does not take the honor to himself, but the one being called by God. So it's nothing you can take. You cannot strive to become a priest in the Levitical priesthood. Someone does not take the honor to himself, but the one who is being called by God, just as also Aaron. So also the Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but the one who has said to him, "You yourself are my son. I myself today have appointed you." English text that reads begotten. It actually means to be born. But it has more than a meaning to just give birth. We'll discuss that in a moment, because the cults use that verse to prove that Jesus was born, when it's really talking about appointing someone to office. Verse 6. According as also, he says in another place, "You are priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Who, meaning the Christ, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up with strong cries and tears, both supplications and entreaties. Different Greek word for prayer that we've studied from before. This has to do with approaching someone. Having offered up both supplications and entreaties to the one who is able to save him from out of death, and having been heard from his reverence, even though being a son, he learned the obedience from what things he suffered. And having been perfected or made complete, he became the source or author of eternal salvation to the ones who are obeying him. Having been designated by God high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is a different kind of a study than we're in Luke. It gives a lot of detail about function and understanding about the things of Christ. Remember that the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish people who have been enlightened about the truth of Christ. And because of the persecution that they suffered for responding to that enlightenment. They were in the process of making a decision to go back into the old religious system of Judaism, where they have the high priest, they have the ceremony, they have the sacrifices. After all, it was instituted by God, so it doesn't seem like there should be anything wrong. It's easier. And yet the writer of Hebrews is saying, once you have been enlightened about the truths of Christ, and you reject Christ because of how difficult it is. Even Jesus in the parable of the sower mentioned that. That there are some people with joy, they receive the word. But then after difficulty comes, after trials come, they leave. Because they want something more comfortable, something nicer, happier in the human. So they seek a religious system. Sometimes Christianity is presented as a religious system to comfort and make people happy, joyous. There is a joy, but it's spiritual. It isn't human. It's for your spirit, and it's in our spirit, not in our flesh. So there are those who are thinking of going back into that old religious system because of the hardship. It's difficult. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, the difficulty accompanies salvation. So don't be surprised. Find yourself in fiery trials. God didn't save us in order to cushion us from the realities of life, but rather to experience them because they drive us to Christ. So, in chapter 1, he presented the prophets, that Jesus Christ, the Son, is superior to the prophets of the Old Testament system, is that he is God's final spokesperson, God's final prophet. That he's superior to the angels who had a hand in the giving of the law. And that even though he became a man, and human beings were classified as below angels, because angels are spiritual beings, just because he became a man for a while, doesn't mean he was inferior. He only came here for a while, only to ascend back up and to accomplish salvation for us. So he's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Joshua and the rest that Joshua gave the people of Israel in chapter 4. So there was a warning. When you hear the voice of God, you should not harden your heart. You should respond. Actually, we are responding. Even if we block out or reject the voice of God, we're responding. We're conditioning our hearts. So when we hear His voice, we should not harden our hearts. Because those people, the children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness, God's Spirit came to persuade them with the Word of God, and they continued to reject it. So they were not mixed in with the believers, those of God's people who were of the persuasion or of the faith, because they rejected it. And so he says, don't let an evil heart of unbelief be in you in rejecting. And so last week, as we ended chapter 4, and chapter 5 is actually a continuation. There's a transition verse at the end of chapter 4. We read it, verse 14 from last week in chapter 4. Therefore, having a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, we should hold firm or grasp the confession. For we do not have a high priest not being able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but having been tested according to all things, according to our likeness, yet apart from sin. Therefore, we should come with confidence to the throne of grace in order that we might receive mercy and we might find grace for timely help. He starts out chapter 5 with the word gar. Those of you in the Greek class know that that denotes a reason. Why we should come with confidence. Here is an explanation now in chapter 5 of the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ over the priesthood of Aaron. The superiority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ over the priesthood of Aaron. Now, just so you know, a bit of information, we're going to get more into it when we get into chapter 7, because he is going to stop, as we'll see next week. He is going to tell us that he wants to explain more about this person, Melchizedek. But because of their dull of hearing, they're not going to be able to understand it, even though in chapter 7 he picks back up again and explains it. Melchizedek was a strange figure in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. He was both a king of a city and priest, both king and priest. Nobody knows where he came from. He has no birth records. Nobody knows who he is. He just appeared on the scene. And it is interesting that as both king and priest, he was a Gentile, not a Jew. Nothing Jewish about Melchizedek. And what is fascinating about this whole thing is you have the Aaronic priesthood. Understand how this works. When God set up the priesthood through the Jews, he chose the tribe of Levi. There were 12 tribes, and only those people from the tribe of Levi could serve in the priesthood and serve in the temple. Whether it be the singers and the priests, you had to be from the tribe of Levi. And specifically, the high priest had to be from the family of Aaron, from Aaron's family. Aaron is just one family within the tribe of Levi. But you could only be high priest if you were from Aaron's family background and from his lineage. And the high priest would serve in the temple, of course, on the Day of Atonement. It would be the high priest that would go in the Holy of Holies, and he would go in there once a year, and he would present the blood. He would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice over the horns of the altar and the mercy seat for the sins of the people, for all the sins they have committed, and for even the ones they didn't know about, the ignorant sins that they were not aware of. Now, what is interesting is that Jesus Christ is presented to us as being a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Not Jewish at all. Jesus Christ is actually a high priest from a Gentile lineage. When I first found that out, it just blew my mind. Jesus did not come to fulfill the Aaronic priesthood. He did not even come to fulfill the Levitical priesthood. He came and said that whole Old Testament system, the whole Old Covenant, that is a covenant in and of itself. He did not come in to take over and fulfill Aaron's priesthood. He comes from the order of Melchizedek, this strange Gentile that appears out of nowhere. Nobody knows where he came from. Nobody knows what happened to him. Some believe it was an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, but we will see in chapter 7, it's only a likeness. That Jesus Christ is like Melchizedek. But the quote in our text, actually Psalm 110 verse 4, which is a messianic psalm, Psalm 110, that's the quote, "You shall be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Even before Christ came, it was prophesied that the Messiah would not be from the Levitical priesthood. He would not serve as a Levitical priest or an Aaronic high priest. He would be from a completely different priesthood, a completely different system, not Jewish. That's the fascinating thing about it, as the writer of Hebrews is explaining to us three things this morning. First of all, verses 1 and 2, the representation of the priest. Verses 1 and 2, the representation of the priest. In order to represent the people, the high priest must be a human being. Sounds strange. Who else would it be? But God specifically designated that it should be a human being because the human being, the priest, must represent the people to God. That's who a priest is. A priest represents the people to God. A prophet is somebody who represents God to the people. He receives the message from God and he goes out and speaks to the people. He represents God to the people. But a priest represents the people to God. He comes into God's presence. He comes before God with the sacrifice and with the blood. He performs the ritual as he represents God's people. Notice first of all in verse 1 that every high priest is appointed. He is ordained. As we'll see in a moment in verse 4, you can't choose to be a high priest. He's appointed. He's ordained. Notice the two prepositional phrases. He's chosen from out of men. You have to be an anthropos. You have to be a human being to be a priest. Notice what he's appointed for. It's on behalf of men. That is, he represents people to God. He comes before God on their behalf in things pertaining to God. Notice verse 2. The purpose for this. In order that he might present gifts and sacrifices on behalf of sins. That's the sins that the people have committed. While dealing gently with those who have sinned ignorantly and for those who are going astray, since he himself also is surrounded with weakness. Now this tells us, because of this, in verse 3, it tells us about indebtedness. First of all, in representation, verses 1 and 2, the high priest or the priest represents the people on behalf of the sins of the people. In verse 3, the indebtedness of the high priest on account of this. That is verses 1 and 2. He is indebted to offer concerning the people and concerning himself on behalf of sins. That is the failure of the Levitical priesthood, is that the priest also has to bring sacrifices for himself, because he too is a sinner. That's the failure of the Levitical priesthood. That's why Jesus couldn't step into the Levitical priesthood, because the priest must continually offer sacrifices in the Levitical priesthood. In the Melchizedek priesthood, it's offered once. That's it. We will also see in the next couple of weeks that the Levitical priesthood is temporary. Once a priest dies, somebody else has to take in his place. And that's how that priesthood is continued. With the Melchizedek priesthood, there's only one priest and he lives forever. Never dies. One represents a spiritual system, the other one represents a religious legal system. Jesus did not come to say, all you priests go home, I'll take over. I am the high priest. Fulfillment of the Levitical priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood. That is not the case. Jesus Christ is our high priest, as we saw at the end of chapter 4. He has passed through the heavens. He is now in the Holy of Holies in heaven at the throne of God, and he is interceding for us. You see, the Son became a man. According to God's divine appointment, nobody can represent us to God unless he became a man. So Christ became a man. And he stands before the throne of God and he intercedes on our behalf. That's what the preposition huper, why that's so important in this text. It's on behalf of somebody else. You're representing them. So that our high priest, it doesn't have anything to do with a building or a religious system here on the earth. If you go someplace that has a minister, a bishop, or a priest, it's all human. It's all a religious system. The message of the Bible is, and I don't know if you've ever heard this before, the message of the Bible is that once you have received Christ, he is your high priest. No human being is your priest. No human being is your bishop or your minister. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Jesus Christ is our apostle. As high priest, he represents us to God. As apostle, he represents God to us. Apostle means a messenger sent with a commission. He came from God to reveal God to us. And then he went back to God to represent us back to the Father. So he is interceding for me right now on my behalf. It tells us in verses 15 that he sympathizes with our weaknesses. Well, the text just tells us that the high priest also has to sacrifice for his own weaknesses. He himself is surrounded with weakness. That's the failure of the Levitical priesthood. That's the failure of religion. Is that whoever stands up front, whoever leads the ceremony, whoever performs the ceremony is a sinner just like everybody else. They're not holier or better than anybody else. So a sinner is administering religious things. And it's sin ministering within a sinful system. The spiritual system, the pure system, is brought by Christ. That's something that you and I can't partake of. That's something that Jesus has to do and he has to be. He is our great high priest. But here in verse 3, the indebtedness, he is indebted to not only sacrifice on concerning the people, but also concerning his own self for sins. Because he's encircled by weakness of himself. Thirdly, verses 4 through 6, the calling of the priesthood. The calling of the priesthood. He says in verse 4, someone does not take the priesthood. The honor that comes with the priesthood. It has to be somebody who is called. As I mentioned to you, in God's religious system in the Old Testament, those who were called were from the tribe of Levi. If you were not from the tribe of Levi, you couldn't be a priest. Yes. Yes, that's correct. So, someone does not take the honor, but is somebody who is called by God. And he says, just like Aaron was. Aaron was called by God. And specifically, not only the Levites, but he said, Aaron, you and your family, you'll be the high priest. All of your lineage, you'll be the high priest. That was appointed by God himself. Verse 5 says, so also the Christ. The word so is an adverb that means in the same way. In the same way, the Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. He didn't appoint himself. But the one, having said to him, is a quote from Psalm 2:7 and verse 5, you yourself are my son. Today I myself have appointed you. The word appointed is also translated begotten because it means to give birth in its rudest element meaning. In Psalm 2:7, where the quote comes from, it is the Father who is king, and he is chosen that day to transfer his kingship to his son. And Psalm 2:7, it says, today you are my son, and today I have appointed you. It's the word begotten. Today is the day that has been born, the day that you have been appointed to become king. So it's translated appointed. Now the cults use this to say, see, Jesus was born. He wasn't always alive. And they use this quote from the King James, today I have begotten you. Well, begotten means to give birth. So therefore, because he was born, he was not always in existence. But Psalm 2:7 doesn't have anything to do with birth. It has to do with the day that was appointed when the Father would transfer his kingship to his son. And on that day, interesting, the quote from Psalm 2:7 that when Jesus came, Psalm 2:7 was fulfilled spiritually upon Christ. You yourself are my son. Today I myself have appointed you. Jesus became king on that day. Verse 6 says, the second example, according as also he says in another place. This is from Psalm 110, verse 4. You are a priest. Literally, in the Greek text, there's no R. It's just you, priest, forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So it was God the Father who appointed his son to be king and appointed his son to be priest. He's both king and priest. He is the one to whom we answer as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is the one who is our high priest. But he was appointed by God. He didn't take it himself. And the writer now is going to develop for us and explain to us in the next couple of chapters this whole Melchizedek system. It's Gentile. It's not Jewish. It has nothing to do with the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. Because the Messiah, when he came, in order to be king and high priest, he had to come from another system. He had to come from another source and be a high priest in another system that is holy and pure, not the Levitical priesthood, which is sinful. All of our religious systems that have been made by man, they're governed by man. They're run by man. We have human beings who are priests and they're sinners. We have human beings who are bishops and human beings who are pastors and ministers. Human beings that represent God to the people and pray on behalf of the people to God. But we also have to pray for ourselves because we too are sinful and we are in need of God to forgive. And we are to deal gently with those who are sinning in ignorance and those who are continually going astray, because we're the same way. We can have a tendency as Christians to present that holier-than-thou attitude with people that we work with or people we live with or people that we work with or live around. Because we're saved. Someone once said, it's when you share the gospel with somebody, it's like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're all beggars. We're all sinful people. We all have a need of the great high priest that God sends. We don't need a high priest that man sends or that man establishes. So he's now opening the doors for us. That's why the encouragement in verse 16 of chapter 4. Therefore, we should come with confidence to the throne of grace in order that we might receive mercy and we might find grace for timely help. Our high priest has nothing to do with the human religious system. You don't have to go to a confessional to confess your sins. You can come directly to the throne of God with confidence because the high priest who sympathizes with us is waiting there to give us, to have mercy on us, and to just minister his grace to us because he knows our weaknesses. Whereas in the Levitical system, the high priest had his weaknesses too. He couldn't represent God to the people. He can only go by what God said in the law on behalf of the people. So Jesus is everything that's within that represents the Levitical system. He's our high priest. We're going to see he's our sacrifice. He's all of the furniture in the tabernacle. He's everything. And those things are just a shadow. Religion is just a shadow of the reality of what's real in the spirit realm. And we're cheating ourselves. And we're being cheated. If we think that by being processed through a religious system that we have to be in good standing with God, that's the best we can do. When He has sent His best, His Son. He is my personal high priest. He is my personal apostle. And that is our confession. How many times have you ever heard a Christian confess that Jesus Christ is their high priest and is their apostle? That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. These Jews who were thinking of going back into the religious system, leaving Christ because of the persecution, they could not make that confession. He's saying, grip the confession. Hold on to the confession. Don't give in. Make that confession and hold to it. He is your personal high priest and apostle. So, just this morning, we have it explained to us and have our understanding expanded that when we talk about Jesus Christ and being high priest, we're not talking about the Levitical system or any religious system here on the face of the earth. We're talking about a system, a spiritual system. The tabernacle, the church, is right now in heaven. He has passed through the heavens and is in the Holy of Holies. And He's interceding on our behalf. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that Christ is interceding for us. He's representing us to the Father. He's saying we're weak. We don't have the strength. We're full of sin. And on that basis, and only on that basis, can I come to the throne of grace. I cannot come to the throne of grace to get mercy and grace based on my own merits. It has to be because my high priest is interceding for me so that I can have that free ministry to me from the throne of God. He forgives. He heals. He ministers. He has left us in a weakened condition. And He sympathizes with that, and He says, because you're weak, you've got to come to the throne of grace. That is your strength. That is your help. Next week we'll finish this section out. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your love and Your grace. We're so thankful we can study about Your mercy and grace. It's not a matter of works or law. It's a matter of walking full-time, continuously in a weakened condition, beset by weakness and sin all around us. You have chosen to leave us in this condition so that we can seek You, receive from You, and depend on You and trust You. Help us to understand that the message of Your Word is that Your Son has bypassed all religious systems and spiritually in the spirit realm is our great high priest at the throne of God. So that we can come with confidence, not because of our holiness, but because of our position and our standing and our relationship with Christ, that we can receive mercy and we can find grace for timely help. Help us to understand that You have planned it this way. Help us to understand that it's our pride that we try to make ourselves better so that we won't need the Lord. But it is Your design so that we could come to You, not to a man or to a woman or to any religious system, but directly to You to receive that ministry from Your Spirit that we so desperately need. So help us to understand this plan of Yours and how You've designed things. Also, may Your Spirit encourage us to come with confidence to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and grace because You understand and You sympathize with our weaknesses. Help us to see that as we approach You in our weakened condition, that is about as spiritual as we can get. We thank you and we pray by your Spirit that you would help us to understand and to function with you in this blessed relationship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number 39 in closing.